Well, good morning, everybody. Morning, everybody at home as well. Well, it has been said that we hear only half of what is said to us. We understand only half of that. We believe only half of that. And remember, only half of that. So if I can find something memorable to say that you believe and you understand and that grabs your attention so that you can hear it, by my calculation, we can be done in under a minute and a half this morning rather than the usual 25. But I'm sorry, I'm going to have to disappoint you. I haven't come up with anything that profound, but I hope we will do better than hearing only half of the next 25 minutes or so as we come in our series of being family to the value of listening. In this series, so far, we've been looking at moments in the history of the people of Israel where God has partnered with them, or in other words, made a covenant with them. Covenant is an odd word, not one that we use much in our everyday lives, but one that runs throughout the Bible, where God makes promises and asks the people to make certain commitments to him as a result. We have seen so far God make a covenant with his people through Noah, through Abraham, through Moses, and last week through David. This week we come to the next big covenant mention as we go chronologically through the Bible, and we find that in the book of Jeremiah, which Laura kindly read for us a few moments ago. This one, however, is different from the rest, as it isn't a moment of God covenanting with his people, but a moment when he promises that a new covenant will be made in the future. This passage is one of the most significant prophecies of the coming of Jesus that we find in the Old Testament. So essentially, today's moment of not covenanting, that's a really hard word for me to say with my Northern Irish accent. I have to keep thinking about it in English. So not covenanting, but promise of a covenant to come is a bit of a trailer for next week when David will be preaching on the covenant that God makes with us through Jesus. So this morning, although we will look at this covenant a little, given that we're going to look at it in much more detail next week, we are instead going to take a look at what the people of Israel were up to in this moment when God made this promise. We will look to see what we can learn as God's family here in EBC from how the people were doing it being God's family at that time. So we've gone through several books so far in this series, and today we're in the book of Jeremiah. So just a bit of a quick overview of what we see happening in this book before we get started. So Jeremiah was an Israelite priest who lived and worked in Jerusalem. God called him as a prophet. He was probably in his late teens or early 20s when he was called. And he was called to warn Israel that there would be severe consequences of their breaking of their covenant with God. They had broken it through their worship of other gods, and their leaders had become corrupt, abandoning the laws of the Torah and unjustly treating those within their family. Jeremiah brought the unpopular message from God that the empire of Babylon would come as God's servant to bring God's judgment, destroying Jerusalem and taking the people into exile. The people would not listen to Jeremiah's warnings. Jeremiah begs them to turn back from their evil ways. They don't. Then Jeremiah's predictions become reality. Jeremiah lives through the siege and destruction of Jerusalem and witnesses the exile personally. God then uses Babylon to judge the nations around Jerusalem, and then finally Babylon itself is judged by God. In amongst all of these warnings and destruction, however, we have a few chapters in the middle of Jeremiah called the Book of Consolation or the Book of Hope, and our reading this morning comes from that mini book in the middle. So in summary, in this book, God speaks, Jeremiah listens, Jeremiah speaks to the people, but the people do not listen. As I've spent time in Jeremiah over the last few weeks, I'm feeling pretty sorry for him. This was a tough, tough calling. 40 years of speaking the words that God gave him and agonizing over the fact that the people would not listen and knowing, therefore, that certain destruction was on its way. And we'll come back to how that affected Jeremiah in a moment. I'm sure we all talk about times at which our children or our spouses or our friends have not listened to us. We all have times in our lives when we feel we haven't been listened to. It may even on occasion have resulted in some amusing moments, like the wife who asks her husband, "Would you please go shopping for me? Buy one carton of milk, and if they have eggs, get six." A short time later, the husband comes back with six cartons of milk. The wife asks him, "Why on earth did you buy six cartons of milk?" He replies, "They had eggs." I'll give you a moment. But as amusing as that particular bit of miscommunication is, it is a sad fact that the pressures of modern-day life have shrunk our attention spans and impoverished the quality of listening in our lives. We live in increasingly hurried times, rushing from work to make dinner, to get the children out to clubs, to get a bit of home admin done, perhaps even then to get to an evening meeting of some kind. Meanwhile, we are bombarded with so much competing input vying for our attention from the internet, TV, emails, texts, social media, that our attention is split. We think we can multitask successfully to get it all done. The truth is that amongst all of this, we have lost the habit of concentrating our attention. If a TV show doesn't grab our attention in the first couple of minutes, we change the channel or we look for something else to stream. If we're listening to someone who doesn't get right to the something that we're interested in, we tune them out. Perhaps that's what some of you are doing right now. It does, however, seem to me that society in general has lost the art of listening to each other, and that loss leaves us with an ever-widening hole in our lives as we seek to connect with other people and with God. As Christians, not only are we called to be good listeners to each other, but most importantly, good listeners to God. The people of Israel in the times of Jeremiah were neither, and destruction and devastation fell on them as a result. So in order to prepare for this morning, I've been delving into what it means to be a good listener. And to be honest, I've had my eyes well and truly opened. I'm sure we're all familiar with the verse in James 1, verse 19. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. It's a simple enough principle. We all understand it. But it's nearly impossible to live. Too often, we are slow to hear, quick to speak, and even quicker to anger. Listening well does not happen overnight. It requires discipline, effort, and intentionality. I'd always thought of listening as primarily being important to the person doing the listening, to learn, to gain information, with a secondary effect of demonstrating respect to the other person who was talking. Doing this research has made me realize that the value of listening is far, far more powerful in the lives of those who need to be heard. Now, what do I mean by that? Let's take Jeremiah as an example. One thing that we see in the book of Jeremiah that we don't to the same extent as we read the other prophets in the Old Testament is the effect not being listened to had on Jeremiah himself. We see this through the prayers of Jeremiah that have been recorded for us through the book. Commentators group these together and call them the Confessions of Jeremiah. In these passages, we see him on his knees in front of God in pain and despair as the people have not listened to him. We don't have time to look at all of these passages, so I'm just going to pick out a few as we go along. But in them, we see that he is frustrated. He's angry. Jeremiah 12, "You're always righteous, Lord, when I bring a case before you. Yet I would speak with you about your justice. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why do all the faithless live at ease? Drag them off like sheep to be butchered. Set them apart for the day of slaughter." So he was angry. He's disappointed. He's hurt. He's lonely. He's in need of the healing, in need of healing from the pain that it has caused. Jeremiah 17, "Heal me, Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved." He's anxious. He's sad. He's resentful. Jeremiah 20, "You deceived me, Lord, and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. I'm ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. Whenever I speak, I cry out, proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long." I wonder if we recognize any of those feelings from times we haven't felt heard in the past. Frustrated, angry, disappointed, hurt, lonely, in need of healing, anxious, sad, resentful. How would our feelings have changed if the other person had listened well to us, even if they hadn't agreed with us? Not being heard or listened to had a far-reaching effect on Jeremiah. Can we be better listeners, knowing the effect it has on others when we aren't? Is there anyone that we know that we haven't listened well to lately that we might need to go to and apologize to and perhaps ask to revisit that conversation? Matthew 22, verse 34 says, "Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, 'Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?' Jesus replied, 'Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments.'" Jesus commands us here to love God and to love others as ourselves. Both of these commands are relational. The first step to loving God and loving others and in building relationship, I would suggest, is to listen to them. We understand that relationships break down when communication breaks down. If the intensity to which we listen to others is proportional to the love that we have for them, then that certainly explains why we feel so rejected when we aren't heard by those we love. If we understand then how important it is for us to be heard by those we love, and obviously we do by the way we react when we aren't heard, why then do we so often hurt the people that we love by not intently listening to them? Why do we disappoint God by not intently listening to him? Too often, we are concerned with our own matters or distracted by the world around us to notice opportunities to connect with people through listening to them. We are often more concerned with being heard than hearing. We don't make time to listen for God's voice. God has called us into a slice of his mission today. Here in Eastleigh, we have heard God say that we are to be family to one another and to our community. I believe we can only do that well if we can listen to God and to each other. We are never going to agree with each other all the time, but we do need to listen to each other all the time if we are going to travel this journey well together. Listening is a frontline tool in building relationships. And what God has called us to be family, is all about relationships. So how do we listen well to God and to each other? Well, you all know that I like a how, but sadly we don't have anywhere near enough time to do this justice this morning. There is more for you to chew over on this week's small groups notes, but we also hope to come back to this during our Lent course that David mentioned during notices, and it starts in a few weeks' time. Those of you who were at our church meeting last month will remember that we were discussing the values that we feel that we should hold as we partner with God and with each other to do the work that God has called us to here. One of the values that has come out strongly in those discussions is the value of listening. And so we will be spending one evening in that course looking at it in detail. A few brief thoughts, however, in the meantime. And first of all, on listening to each other. Good listening requires patience. Bonhoeffer, in his book Life Together, gives us something to avoid. A kind of listening with half an ear that presumes already to know what the other person has to say. This, he says, is an impatient and inattentive listening that is only waiting for a chance to speak. Perhaps we think we know where the speaker is going and are already starting to formulate the response in our heads. Or perhaps we're in the middle of something or have another commitment approaching and wish they were done speaking already. Good listening requires concentration, tuning out distractions and our internal preoccupations, and putting our phones away. It takes spirit-powered patience to hear and continue hearing until the person has finished speaking, and not to formulate responses or opinions until the full story is on the table. So good listening requires patience. Secondly, good listening asks perceptive questions. Proverbs 18. It is the fool who takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion, and thus gives an answer before he hears. Proverbs 20, verse 5 says, "The purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out." So good listening asks perceptive, open-ended questions that don't tee up yes-no answers, but gently peel the onion and probe beneath the surface. Thirdly, the essence of good listening is empathy, which can only be achieved by suspending our preoccupation with ourselves and entering into the experience of the other person. The power of empathetic listening is the power to transform relationships, and being guided by the Spirit prepares us to speak well, to speak the words of grace to precisely the place where the other is in need. And then finally, if we're to listen well, then we need to resist defensiveness and emotional reaction to what the other person is saying, and to listen from a non-judgmental stance. Good listening is an act of love. It flows from our relationship with God and a humble heart, giving others more significance than ourselves. We see Jesus model throughout the Gospels how to be a good listener. John 11, verse 32 says, "When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.'" When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." John's Gospel tells us earlier in that chapter that Jesus knew that he would arrive too late to heal his friend, and also that he was going to raise him from the dead. So what, therefore, brought Jesus to tears? Those of you who do Lectio know that we looked at this passage a few weeks ago and concluded that maybe it was because Jesus chose not to rush ahead into the miracle, but instead take the time to listen to his friends and allowed himself to be affected by their grief. the last Lent course we did when we had Jim Thomas with us, hope lots of you remember that, focused our learning on how we listen to God. Nothing is more wonderful than the human capacity to hear God's voice. But it takes some practice to discern what is God's voice and what isn't. God can speak to us in lots of different ways, depending on how we are wired, through the reading of his word, through prayer, through understanding who Jesus is, through prophecy, through his internal whisper, through dreams or visions, through community with others. So all the more important to listen well to each other. It might be God speaking through that person, but also he speaks through creation or through culture. But in order to hear, we must take time to listen. Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 5 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." This passage forms part of the Shema, the most important prayer in Judaism, and it starts with the word hear. Shema literally means to listen or to hear. This passage was regarded by the rabbis and by Jesus himself as the core of the law and therefore of highest priority. So before we can love God with all our hearts and soul and strength, we must learn to listen. It's one of the most important things we will ever learn to do as we walk the Christian faith. And once then, of course, we hear, the next step is to obey. So a very quick overview. However, I wanted to recommend a couple of books to you if you'd like a refresh or you'd like to learn some more. The first one is this one, which is How to Listen to God by Pete Gregg. Some of you may have already read this one. The strapline to this book is A Simple Guide for Normal People. This is a great book. It takes the story of Jesus' encounter with the couple on the Emmaus Road and uses it as a model of how God speaks. It's a fairly easy read with lots of illustrations and a number of stories, so I really recommend that one to you. The second one is this one called The Lost Art of Listening. I appreciate that it does look a bit chunky, and so I've already put some of you off by that, but it's also an easy read. This isn't a Christian book, so I'll flag that up immediately. This is not a Christian book, but it was recommended by a Christian counsellor. And even if you only read the first 100 pages, I can guarantee that you will have learnt a lot from that book. So if you didn't catch those titles, I've put those on our small group page on our website, so you'll be able to find them on there. So back to the book of Jeremiah then. For me, when reading the book of Jeremiah, it was fairly easy to identify with his pain in not being listened to and with his frustration with the people. However, I wonder this morning if God might also be asking us to take a moment to consider if we're being more like the people of Israel than we would care to imagine, and whether, therefore, we need to examine or challenge some of our own behaviors. The people of Judah thought they were free to sin because they'd been born children of Abraham and were the people of the covenant. No matter what Jeremiah said, what word from God that he brought them, they weren't open to considering that it was them that needed to change. And they ended up paying the price for that disobedience. The sad thing is that it was all avoidable. If the people had listened to what God had said to them through Jeremiah and changed their ways, the subsequent siege and exile would not have happened. You may have heard the story about a man who feared that his wife wasn't hearing as well as she used to. And he thought she might need a hearing aid, but not quite sure how to handle that conversation with her. He calls the doctor to discuss the problem. The doctor gave him a simple test that he could perform to give a better idea about her hearing loss. So the doctor said, "Here's what you've got to do. Stand about 40 feet away from her, and in a normal conversational voice, see if she hears you. If not, go to 30 feet, then 20 feet, and so on until you get a response. Okay, so that evening, his wife was in the kitchen cooking dinner and he was in the living room. And the husband says, "Darling, what's for dinner?" No response. So he moves closer to the kitchen and repeats, "Darling, what's for dinner?" Still no response. He repeats it several times with no response and then walks right up behind her and says, "Darling, what's for dinner?" The wife then turns around and says, "James, for the fifth time, I've said we are having chicken." So, like the man in this story and the people of Israel, sometimes we are slow to recognize that it is us that needs to make the change. Maybe we come to church on a Sunday but prefer to pay lip service only to the teachings of Jesus as soon as we leave the building. We like our lives as they are. We don't want to listen to God or to other people. Maybe we prefer to ignore the injustice that we see happening around us. Maybe we like to speak whatever is on our minds without considering the impact it has on others. Or perhaps we have heard from God but don't like what we have heard and are choosing to ignore it. But what if God this morning is asking us to change our behavior, either as individuals or as a church? Is there something that he's asking us to change today? We have been given what I believe is an amazing gift from God in the vision that he's given us to be family to each other and to our community. God spoke, we listened, but let's not get complacent. Are we prepared to keep listening? Are we prepared to make the changes that we will need to make in order to work this vision through, however inconvenient or uncomfortable? Are we prepared to listen to each other as we express our concerns and differences along the way, as no doubt there will be plenty, as well as expressing our joys and excitement? Can we do that and still maintain the relationship of family that God has called us to? Or are we going to choose to hold tightly to everything that we're comfortable and familiar with and not be open to considering or discussing or listening to whether God needs those things to change to work out his vision here? Change is hard. Listening to God requires practice to recognize his voice. Listening well to each other is harder work than I anticipated it to be even just a few weeks ago. If we can listen well to God, then through that relationship, we are often more willing to listen well to each other. The good thing is that we don't have to do these things in our own strength. Back to today's covenant or promise of a new covenant. In amongst these passages of despair and destruction in Jeremiah, we find a few chapters of hope. So verse 33 of chapter 31. "This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people." The new covenant that Laura read to us isn't just another renewal of the old covenant that God gave at Sinai that we've been looking at over the last few weeks. It's a covenant that's new in every way. The new covenant is inward, so God's law is written on the heart and not on some stone tablets. It is personal rather than national, with each person putting faith in the Lord and receiving a new heart. The old covenant tried to control conduct, but the new covenant of Jesus changes character. The basis for the new covenant is the work of Jesus on the cross. as we accept Jesus as our Savior and believe in him, we are born again into the family of God with the Spirit at work in us and through us, helping us and guiding us, helping us to accept change, helping us to listen well, and guiding us as we work out the vision that we as a church have partnered or covenanted with God to do. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that we can read the Old Testament and see it all pointing to the promise of Jesus to come and to his coming again. Lord, we thank you that we no longer have to rely on prophets like Jeremiah to hear your voice, that you speak directly to us. Lord, we are sorry when we don't take the time to listen or are so distracted by worldly things that we don't hear you. Help us to be better listeners to you and to each other. So, Spirit of the living God, we ask that you fall afresh on us now. We ask that you would prompt us with a word or a picture this morning as I ask these questions of us all. We are listening. Is there something you have been saying to us that we just haven't been listening to, Lord? Prompt us, we pray. Is there something in our behavior that you are asking us to change? Is there someone we haven't listened well to that we need to go and listen to again? Is there someone, as Ricky mentioned earlier, that we have spoken poorly to who we need to apologize to? Prompt us in these moments of quiet. Lord, thank you for speaking and giving us ears to hear. Amen.